Yes.
Amen.
How is the best case scenario Gogamet?
Still on the team? Hard to say. Well, I guess we'll probably have to talk about Sunday night in Green Bay. That looked familiar, didn't it? Holy shit. Yeah, we'll talk about that. And we will look forward to an upcoming slate of four winnable games, starting with the Houston Texans. Lovey's coming back to town. Plus much, much more. Zednike! Thanks for listening.
Yes!
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 Hello, Becky.
Boing, 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 boing.
Zero doinks. Zero doinks.
Zero doinks.
Zero doinks.
Zero doinks.
Zero doinks.
Zero doinks.
Ooh, zero doinks. We are back, baby. They let us back. StreamYard let us back. Anchor did. Spotify did. Everyday Quarterback did. Everybody said, guys, Zero Doinks was inappropriate last episode, but we'll let him back. Hi, Dan. How are you?
Hey, Bill. I'm great. Thanks for having me. You look great.
So do you. I love it when you put a muff in front of your face every week.
Thanks for having me.
I am so glad that microphone is protected after that. That the muff is versatile, let's be honest, isn't it?
It is, and it's... Do you change out your microphone muff? This is the same one I've been rocking for like... How many years have we been doing this? 3 years?
This is our fourth, yeah.
Let me take a sniff. Doesn't smell bad. I've been spitting like beer all over this for years. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I might still have COVID, so maybe that's not a good test. Mm. The sniffer test.
Well, I think that's another probably another point in Hams' win column, because Hams doesn't smell. I think that's
correct.
A big thing. And thank you, Hams, by the way. I've left you out. Thank you for your generosity. And making sure that Zero Doinks gets off the ground.
Well, it's Bill, it doesn't smell until it comes out of your anus. Then it smells like the worst kind of rotten eggs you can imagine. So Jordan Doinks has told me, and I think all of our wives collectively have, they've put their heads together and decided that they are very anti-Hams gas. Not anti-Hams, Hams gas. Because their husbands...
They foof.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
They foof a lot, especially on the Hams.
Yeah, there is definitely a laxative of some sort in hams. I don't think they put it on the back of the can, but that ingredient should be front and center.
Yeah, it should be a pre-colonoscopy treatment to just clear out the pipes before you jam that camera up the back end. I think that would make sense. Look at us. We're doctors now. Look at us.
We're
like the Guy Fieri of doctors.
Oh, hey, I'm Guy Fieri. I just walked into your diner. I gotta take a shit. I gotta do it.
I think nothing has been more true out of your mouth than saying that he looks like a guy that just takes a lot of dumps.
Yeah. And there's a lot of rattling because he's wearing way too many rings and bracelets when he's trying to wipe the old behind Fieri there. There's just a lot of... He's like on the toilet paper roll, just a lot of banging with the rings, just a lot of banging. It's like, oh my God, is he okay? As he's unraveling, he's like, oh, I need more. I need more. Guy needs more. Speaks in the third person a lot, I'd imagine, as well, while shitting. Oh, yeah.
I could definitely see that. I think, man, how bad do those rings stink? That's a whole other. That is. Wow. Wow.
Similar to the microphone muff here, he hasn't taken those things off in 4 years. So there's just old barbecue sauce and his own feces under those rings. So yes. It is very ripe on those digits. Just disgusting. We love you, though, Guy. Big fan.
We do. It's like when you take a cast off somebody that... You know, broke their leg 12 months prior. It's got to have that sort of just smog all over his hands.
Boy, a 12-month break. That's Jesus Christ. What? That must have been a horrible. Was it Trey Lance?
Yes.
That's awful. I'm sorry to hear that.
We predicted his injury, didn't we? Look at us.
Mm-hmm. I feel bad. I feel bad for him. I'm just going to say.
Same. Yeah. 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 We didn't want that. Because now the 49ers are good. All right, let's get into it, buddy. We'll see you on the other side.
Guy Fieri's rings. They smell.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're the pride and joy of Illinois, Chicago Bears, Bear Down.
F*** you, Aaron Rodgers.
Boing, 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 boing.
Oh my God, Bears. They played Sunday night. Somebody told me that they did. I didn't watch it live. Shouldn't have watched it in retrospect. That felt a little familiar, didn't it, there, old Danny boy?
It did, and you want to share why you didn't watch it live? Is this a secret? I want to ask you about it later, so maybe we could... Okay. We cover it in the outro, or do you want to talk about it now?
We could put a pin in that cushion, buddy.
Cushion for the cushion. It was the same old shit with Bears Packers. Kyle Brandt on NFL Network, I think he had a rant about please stop putting Bears Packers in prime time. Mm-hmm. I fully support that.
Oh, yeah.
You're shaking your head. Yes, are you in the same boat?
Oh, 1,000,000%. It's... Because it's inevitable. It's like, even when we've been good, we would have that game. And it wouldn't matter whether it's Soldier Field or Lambeau. It's right. Brett Favre absolutely stuck it in us every time, essentially. And I know. It's just enough. Enough already, guys.
And Bears fans seem really hurt that we didn't win this game. Where the expectation, we were 10-point dogs on the road. I guess I wasn't surprised. I definitely was disappointed in a lot of the play. You know, I guess we could tick through. Should we just do the offense first?
Yeah, if we have to.
Fields looked bad. He didn't look great. Yep. He looked like a rookie. He just doesn't seem to yet have a good feel for pressure. I don't think he has a good sense for where his guys are at when he's getting pressure. And, you know, he just looks inexperienced. You know, the problem throwing 11 passes that should never happen. I mean, maybe when the monsoon the week before, you could sort of justify it, but right. No NFL quarterback in the year 2022 should be throwing only 11 passes in a game that they played the entire game. So that is a problem, and I can't really figure out why. And I know the running game was good, but you know, I don't know how that happens. Do they not trust him to throw the ball more, or is Getsy an idiot? I don't know. I mean, I'm not ready to make those full blown assumptions yet, but
right.
Something's not right.
To me, it's like, I don't think anybody can make either of those jumps yet either with any validity, but it's like, I don't know how that happens either. Even if they didn't trust him, which I'm not saying that's the case, if Trevor Siemian was the quarterback, I would feel weird if he only threw the ball 11 times too, right? Yeah, 11 times doesn't make any sense in the year 2022. Like, I'm sure Sid Luckman was throwing more than 11 times. It made no sense. And I know there was a, you know, the first quarter, we only touched the ball once, but general time of possession wasn't great and field position seemed to suck. Right. Thanks to our kick returners a lot of times. And you know, we'll get to them, I'm sure. Whenever I say that, we never get to it. So,
no,
you know,
no.
Whatever. It's just something I say.
We'll talk about it off air. We'll text
about it. Yeah, exactly. There's a guy on Twitter. I don't know if this is true, Dan. I didn't look at all the stats, but he said through two games, the Bears have the fewest pass attempts in the NFL. And that was going into Monday night with two teams that hadn't even played yet. And it's the fewest by any NFL team since 1980.
Crazy.
Like, why? I mean, like you said, monsoon game one. So, yeah, that certainly factors into it. Makes absolutely zero sense, considering you were trailing the majority of that game. What the fuck?
Yep. Yep. And it's, I think the stat was even every, what, did maybe, did you say this? Every team in the NFL has 28 completions.
No.
Yeah. No. Every team has at least 28 completions. We have 28 attempts. You know, even when we are he went 7 of 11, so it's not like it was an awful percentage-wise there. It's not terrible. I mean, I surprisingly, the one thing, well, one of the two major issues that I think you and I had was the offensive line and the lack of talent in the wide receiver room. Our offensive line, I think, is holding it together fairly well. They don't seem to be a giant liability. They're not the best in the league by any means, but that doesn't seem to be the concern. I think our receivers have trouble getting open, but as a whole, it just doesn't make sense to me. I know I can't answer it. The play where we got all the way to the goal line, I mean, we ran it pretty much the entire drive because it was working. Yeah, Monty finished with 122 yards. Mm-hmm. He was awesome. He was awesome.
Yeah, average, eight yards a carry or something crazy.
Exactly.
Right?
So I get, you know, working that in. If it's working, why go away from it? But, I mean, like, we could talk about the goal line play, too. Like, why with the guy running with an eight-yard average are you running fucking shotgun with your, call it what it is, rookie quarterback?
Right. When you have a fullback on the roster also, it's like, that's why you have a fullback for plays like that.
Yeah. So the like, you know, I mean, I wasn't even upset that they, of course they weren't going to reverse that call. Of course they were not. Right. That wasn't going to happen. They wouldn't. And, but it was just sort of like shame on us for even being in that position. Cause that was just, that was so dumb. That was Matt Nagy. That was Matt Nagy
too cute. Getting cute for for no reason. It's you got Justin Fields, a big quarterback. He could push it in on his own, more likely, one would think. Or, Monty falls forward all the damn time. He probably could have got in. I know. It's completely crazy. And, but, wide receiver situation is becoming a major concern. I don't quite understand what's going on. Pat Manley was on the score today basically saying there were times that dude seemed open and Fields wasn't able to pull the trigger or would not pull the trigger, but then he was completely contradicted by the next guest, who's a quarterback coach, I guess. I can't remember his name, who was like, no, like, it's by the time they were open, based on how he understands Fields is being taught by Getsy, if Getsy's teaching Fields the same way he was working on Rodgers, like, that's not relevant. That's not what he's looking at. It's not what he's supposed to be looking at. So it's like, so that's where I'm hesitant to make any judgment whatsoever of what the fuck happened on Sunday. And it's hard outside of looking at a box score and watching, like, it's the obvious things to be upset with Fields would be just like, okay, just awareness, you know, crossing the line of scrimmage and then letting go of the ball. It's like, it's like, that's bad. Just like you're jittery. I don't know what the fuck that's about. But we haven't seen him do that yet. It's so it's like,
right.
I wouldn't have gone to that game thinking, man, I'm nervous that Fields is going to do something like that too. It was totally weird. That was just like a weird, like, mental fart that I just don't understand. So I don't know. I'm trying not to get too down on his performance and like building a, oh shit, we're fucked sort of mentality about just because of that game. I don't know how you feel, or if you left that game thinking, oh man, here we go again when it comes to the Bears quarterbacks. I don't know. What do you think? Or has it changed over 2 days now that you've thought about it too?
Yeah, I guess I'm just sort of, I don't know. I'm not ready to call him a bust at this point, but I'd be lying if I didn't say the thought is taking up space in my brain just like a tiny bit. I'm just worried. I'm not saying he is. I don't feel like he is.
Yeah.
But the circumstances may really hinder his ability to become a good quarterback, and that's not like out in his control with the shitty talent around him. And like the Dolphins with Tua. Mm-hmm. Like, he has, like, Tyreek Hill, and he has a coach who knows how to scheme things open. And Tua was awesome on Sunday. So I'm not ready to go there yet. There's one person I'm ready to just say that is just fucking stinks, and it's Cole Kmet. Like, I feel like we've tiptoed around it for a while. He stinks bust. However you want to say it, I'm officially off the Cole Kmet train. Like, he just fucking stinks. He doesn't block worth of shit. I know he hit one target that he dropped, but come on, dude. There's a reason. Like, he's totally irrelevant, and I think, was this his third year? Third year, right? Like, at this point, you're just not, if you're not making yourself a viable option for the team, you stink. So I just put my stamp on it. Cole Kmet fucking stinks. I'm out on him.
All right, I have two quick thoughts on that. First, you are going to absolutely love the intro song. Then, great job. Really? So great.
Oh wow.
Well timed rant. And number two, can I read you a little Dan Pompey, Dan?
Yeah, I read it, but go ahead.
Okay, maybe you can explain this to me then. I'm going to quote it for those who either don't have a subscription to The Athletic or those that ignore Dan Pompey.
Or those that have a life.
Exactly. Dan Pompey writes, quote, Cole Kmet can catch more balls only if the wide receivers are catching more. He can be effective if the passing game is in sync, but he should not be expected to be the reason the passing game is in sync, unquote. Okay, there's all sorts of bullshit to this comment. Like, wasn't he billed to be, like, not necessarily Travis Kelce, but, like, that style of tight end, that would, like, a catch-first offensive, yep. Like, he was not this, like, big blocking brute or anything to come in. Would we have ever said that about Travis Kelce, that he shouldn't have been expected to be the reason that a passing game is? Like, Travis Kelce is still Patrick Mahomes' biggest, security blanket. Yeah. Cole Kmet should be the, and part of it is the roster stinks, but even if the roster was a little bit better, he should be Fields' 1B or number two option, no matter what, right? Yep. That's what we've been sold. So
he was a second round pick sold to us as a playmaker, catching balls. I mean, whether the receivers, you know, like Travis Kelce is the number one option basically right now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's the
any borderline was, yeah, even yeah. when Hill was there. You can make that argument.
Yep. George Kittle's the same way. I mean, that's what we were led to believe that was the guy he is, and he's basically just Adam Shaheen at this point. I mean, I feel like Shaheen might have been a little better when he was healthy. Cole Kmet's just awful. Like, I got no use for him now, and I hope I'm proven wrong, but everyone I think is just trying to pray that he's better than he is, and we're in his third year and he's completely irrelevant. And at some point we've changed offenses here, and this is an overreaction because he's in a new offense. It's two games in, but there's literally nothing since that dude's been here that's been impressive at all.
Yeah.
Ooh. And it's frustrating. It's just that was a wasted pick. And, you know, this is totally doesn't mean shit now. But I'm not going to lie to you. Seeing Jalen Hurts being awesome and we didn't take him. I actually wanted Hurts instead of Jalen Johnson, which is dumb. But that was a spot where I think we were like, we would love for that to happen. I mean, all that doesn't matter because we have Fields. I'd rather have Fields, I guess, at this. Would you rather have Jalen Hurts or Justin Fields?
No, I mean, I think I'm going too far now. Yeah, well, and I think, too, it's like, if you just look at raw ability, long-term, like, there's no reason, hopefully, that Fields... Third year Fields should be third. What we're seeing right now with Jalen Hurts, third year Jalen Hurts, right?
Yeah.
Get the weapons around you. I bet if you put Fields on Philadelphia right now with Dallas Goedert and AJ Brown and Devontae Smith, and you know, I bet Fields would look a lot better, right?
Probably.
Even in a second year, probably. We don't know that for sure.
Yeah, I guess I'm not ready to go that far, but. It was making me play that what if game with Cole Kmet's. Like, this is another one I think we'll end up looking back on and be like, we fucking wasted a pick on another weight pace just trying to bullshit his way through another draft. And I don't know. I'm sick of his shit, Bill. And well, I think that's. I get irrationally upset with tight ends. I don't know. I'm not wrong, though.
Tight ends. Yeah, no, of course not.
Yeah, I'm not. Of course, I'm not a good tight end since fucking Greg Olsen at this point, and it's pissing me off. What about think back to like last year, like Jasper Horsted is where is he at now? Like, is he? I mean, he was more productive in limited time than Cole Kmet. Like, there, why? Why is that? How is that possible?
It shouldn't be just based off of pedigree. It makes no sense. But what I don't understand what Pompey was saying more like. Why should Cole Kmet only be able to catch more balls if the wide receivers are catching more balls? Is Cole Kmet being triple teamed and I'm unaware of it? I don't think so. No. I don't think so. That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
You know, I can't give you the. You're gonna have to ask that Dan, not this one. I don't want to.
No, I think we called out the guy that I have bigger regrets. We called it out last week. The Cole Kmet, he passed on Antoine Winfield to draft Cole Kmet. So that that to me is the more direct line of like the obvious pick at that moment, potentially. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, I guess let's talk about maybe talk about the defense briefly. I mean, they were bad. They were awful. The tackling was terrible. I think Gordon and Brisker both looked really bad. They looked like rookies as well.
For sure.
I mean, obviously Green Bay, they got the running game going, which they wanted to do, and they couldn't, you know, they did kind of whatever they want. I will say, just as a whole, like for how bad we played, like if we, that touchdown had counted, the shotgun, we would have been down seven.
Yeah.
One score in the fourth quarter. It's a game.
Yeah.
What, is that? That has, that should be concerning to Packer fans, right?
I think the Packers might stink. And I think they'll slide by a little bit just because the division is, you know, I mean, the Vikings came down to earth, obviously, last night. Yeah, they'll probably survive this year. Rodgers doesn't look right to me at all. At all. He looks like he looked confused half the time and frustrated and somewhat disinterested and like we got to him pretty decently for as bad as the defense was. We did. I mean, Travis Gibson was awesome and Robert Quinn actually showed up on our televisions. That was nice to see. it looked like Dominic Robinson was in on some pressures too again, which is awesome to see. But yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah, Gordon needs new cleats. I think it's the second week in a row he's been on roller skates.
Yeah.
Roquan was getting a lot of shit I saw on Twitter for getting Velcroed with offensive linemen and not being able to find out his, you know, figure out his way through a screen, you know, on screen plays, I should say, where he just got smoked. I don't know. I'm not smart enough. I'm not watching the all 22 and identifying these things. So I don't even know if that's true. But he is kind of, Roquan is what he is. Like we've known it forever. He's not going to be your stat sheet stuffer with sacks and turnovers and shit like that. It's like he's going to get his 14 tackles a game somehow. He just compiles it. He does always seem to be around the ball, though. Still, like, I don't know. I are people being too hard on Roquan Smith, or am I being a baby?
No, I know watching the game, the reaction about Roquan in while watching the game, I didn't feel the same way that it was like all on him. But yeah, the reaction on Twitter was very negative towards Roquan. I guess, yeah, he's getting the 14 tackles, but they're all 6 yards past past the line of scrimmage, you know. Yeah, it was just a bad performance by the defense just in general. But somehow we I can't. It was such a weird game. And I can't. It was strange. The fact that we were could have potentially been down one score for as poorly as we played, throwing 11 fucking passes, is bonkers. Just bonkers. So
it is.
I don't know. I it's strange.
Maybe that's a good sign in a weird way. For you hope that Fields will never look that bad again. Generally speaking, maybe he won't. Right? Maybe that is like, you know, maybe that's the absolute dumpster fire of the Getsy era, hopefully, as an offensive coordinator in general, right? He obviously didn't do Fields any favors, but Fields did not look comfortable all game either. And yeah, and you, I know it, you know, 27 to 10 looks like a blowout, but like you said, that was fourth quarter, we're down by one. Fields probably did score. He probably did score that, you know, so. Yeah, I would have left as a Packers fan not feeling amazing. I would have felt like good that, hey, at least Fields didn't light our ass up, and we see the train coming down the track and we're about to get hit by it for the next 10 years. That's probably the only like saving grace I would have as a Packers fan, that it looked like the same old Bears, but the Packers, extremely unimpressive. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, go fuck yourself. I think the, you know, Aaron Rodgers of like 5 years ago with Adams, they would have gotten to 40 points easily. I think that's the thing, is this
drive actually blown us out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we've seen that we've seen that movie so many times.
Oh my god.
That's the way it felt, but it didn't it never got that bad. So
yeah.
I don't know. It was just yeah, please stop putting us on primetime with the Packers.
Yeah.
I'm stop putting us on primetime, period. Those Sunday night games suck. I hate them so much. I was so hungover all day Sunday. And I like did all like I mean I think I text you. I fell asleep about 15 seconds after that game ended on my couch. And I was just like, thank God, get this game over with. I need to go to bed. It's the Sunday scaries that are an all-time high, especially when you're getting your shit kicked in by the Packers on Sunday night. So,
yeah. I like night games generally. I do not like night games against Green Bay. Who could? I know we were talking ourselves into a win going into it, but then the broadcast starts and you see Lambeau and you see Rodgers like, it's that sinking feeling immediately. I mean, yep. We were up 7-3. That's shocking. The first drive was great.
It was great. You know, we all kind of knew, right?
Yeah, exactly. We've done that before too. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. And that was, it felt like a naggy thing as well. Like our scripted plays would be fucking amazing. And then we'd have to figure it out from there. It's like, I don't know what to call now. Let's do Santa Slay again.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, I mean, I think we were calling for more of a balanced offense with the run. We were not calling for 11 pass attempts, Luke Getsy. So sorry for the miscommunication from Bears fans, but let's sling the ball a little bit more, baby. Otherwise, yeah, how the fuck is Justin Fields gonna develop if he's averaging?
It can't happen again. Passes. It cannot happen again. And this weekend's a good. This coming game, it's a good one to. Sort of shake out the cobwebs a little bit and do some real shit.
Yeah, I feel like that's a great segue, Dan. You're a podcast veteran right there. As Dan's alluding to, an old friend coming to town, Lovey Smith and the Houston Texans. Did you do any research, Dan?
He did.
Oh, I'd love to hear it, and I know our audience would. I think this is a new one, right?
Yep.
Yes!
Spoiler alert, real lame coaching staff, but we'll tick through it.
Okay. Let's do it. In the next segment, I can't remember if we divide this. I think we do. See you on the flip side.
Eat my ass, Lovey Smith.
Oh, baby. Lovey Smith is coming hungry, and Dan has a menu up his backside, apparently. Dan, you're a big research guy. We all know that. Houston's coming to town. It's a new squad for you. Let's go. Let's hear it. I want to learn.
Okay. Well, I'm here to teach you ass. All right. I can't remember if I do the weather at the beginning of this one or hams and bread, so I'm going to do the weather now. Sunday. 12 p.m. on CBS. Don't know who's calling the game. Who do you think? I bet it's Iron Eagle.
That would be too generous. I feel like it's going to be like a high schooler, just an intern.
It's going to be Adam Amin and Jim Miller on CBS, and they're going to screw up all of the graphics and do a weird sideline interview with Lovey's cousin. Okay. This Sunday, we're looking at partly cloudy skies, slight chance of rain, high of 69. Oh, yeah. Winds to the west, northwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour, Bill. Is that a lot of wind? I don't really know. I don't really pay attention to.
You don't have a windsock on your roof?
Just on my cack, because yes. I'm in the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Okay. Bears, Texans. Texans are 4-1 all time against the Bears. I feel like we've played them more than that. That doesn't seem to make sense. We really not beat them until recently.
Wow. That's pretty, that's very sad. I'm a bit embarrassed about that.
Yeah, we all should be. But the last game was a Bears win, was December 13th, 2020 in Chicago. Bears win 36-7. Ended a 6-game losing streak that year. That was fun. Did we, I'm trying to remember, is that when we like beat Tampa and then we just rattled off like 6 in a row after that?
Maybe.
I feel like it might have been. Monty started the game with an 80-yard touchdown run. Bears had 7 sacks in the game. 6 of them were Watson, and they pulled him and played A.J. McCarron. Deshaun Watson, do you happen to see the total sidebar here? Browns fans in the tailgate lot. A lot of creepy Deshaun Watson stuff. They had like a mannequin on a table with a boner. Did you happen to see that?
I did. I saw a photo of that. That's... How do you, when you're constructing that, how does it not cross your mind that might not be a great idea?
I mean, that I don't know. This is just weird. Browns fans are scumbags, right? It feels that way.
It's appearing so. I didn't know that to be so. I knew a lot of them put on rubbery, wet dog masks, but I didn't think they were bad, but... yikes.
It made me feel a little better to see them lose in horrible fashion on Sunday. Let's just wrap up this last game, 2020. Mitch had 3 touchdowns. I don't know how that happened. A-Rob had 123 yards and 1 touchdown. So good win for the Bears there. Let's repeat that shit. Let's do the Texans team, their coaching staff here. I only have 3. Most of the guys were just unknown assholes that I'd never heard of. Their coaching staff, just as a whole, very oddly put together, I guess. There are like a lot of them are just listed as offensive assistants. No specific group that they're a part of, just offensive assistant. Is that a Lovey thing? Do you remember this from it almost feels a little bit like a college team still. Like he's reverted to that, and he's just like, oh, we have a bunch of grad assistants on the team.
Yeah, I wonder if that has anything to do with like that, like the last minute nature of his hiring, right? Or
it could be.
Just like cobbling together the worst staff in the league because everybody already has a job. I don't know.
Well, there's no defensive coordinator listed on the staff. It's got to be him. It's obviously him, but
that's not great.
In most cases, you have a defensive coordinator, and you're just like, I'm calling the plays, right? But that's not the case with Lovey. So Lovey, do you know where he gets his name, Lovey? I actually thought that was a nickname for the longest time. It's not. It's actually his name. He's named after his great aunt Lavana. Wasn't that one of the options for your daughter?
Yeah.
Lavana Doinks?
It was. I just, you know, by that time we knew about Lovey, so I didn't want to disrespect him and his aunt. I think she had recently passed. I think she ate too much donkey sauce at Guy Fieri's restaurant.
Do you prefer donkey sauce or horsey sauce? And what's the difference?
I prefer donkey sauce because it's a little more raw. Like it's a bit of a risk. Like there could be sewage. There might not be. I like to play games with my food. How about
I was
you?
Gonna say, yeah, it's too gamey for me. The donkey sauce. I like it when people say that. It's too gamey.
Too
they say
gamey.
Like venison.
Yeah. I was going to say, you definitely, a lot of people hunting donkeys, so I get it. I totally understand that it's a rare meat in the wild.
Lovey was, he played linebacker at Tulsa for John Cooper, the old Ohio State coach. Oh. He was a 2-time All-American at linebacker and defensive back. Why didn't he go pro? It made no mention of him even entertaining it. He immediately went to coaching out of college. He went to be a defensive coordinator for his high school team.
Weird. That's super weird. Too boring, maybe? Failed all the interviews?
Oh, just didn't talk. A lot of crying. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wikipedia also mentions that Smith is a devout Christian and has contributed every month to Brown's Chapel. Not Brown's Chicken.
I know, his former Brown's Chicken.
His former Methodist church in Texas. I feel like there's a trend. Like, is Wikipedia really into Christians? It's always mentioned, especially with athletes.
Could be.
Which way they swing.
Well, I could see devout religious people just, you know, getting real weird in people's I'm not saying they're lying about it, but like, okay, I know this guy is contributing to Brown's Chicken Church there in Galveston, Texas. Let's make sure that Wikipedia covers it too. I could see
weird.
That.
Yeah. Lovey's a good guy. We're still.
He's fine.
Are you? You don't have any hate for him due to the Illinois run, or?
No, I have hate for his recruiting.
Yeah.
But no, he never. He represented the university just fine. He was always a class dude. Yeah, I still like him. I'm just glad he's not my coach.
What a weird era of Illinois football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like I tried to say that the minute he got the job. I was like, I can't picture him recruit, like being in a living room of a recruit trying to beg them to come to Champaign, Illinois, from, you know, they're sitting in Galveston, Texas, right after Brown's Chicken Church, and he's like, I would like for you to come to Champaign. There's a lot of corn, and it gets real cold, and we're going to be 2-11 every year.
Mm-hmm.
Come on to Champaign.
Yep.
Does he have a southern drawl?
Mm-hmm. He does. Just had a little bit of that. Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Yeah. No, it never really made sense, but in AD Josh Whitman's defense, they were coming off an abuse scandal from Tim Beckman. So it was a hell of a hire, all things considered.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, offensive coordinator for the Texans is Pep Hamilton. He's in his second year with Houston, first year as offensive coordinator, Bears quarterback coach from 07 to 09. He was fairly recently the head coach of the DC Defenders in the XFL. And they went 3-2. The league folded. Is that the one that just is like, we're out of money, no more? Or was that the American one? I can't remember. They were both seemed like a disaster, but wasn't one of them the one that just was like, I feel like Andrew Luck's dad was involved with one of them, and
yeah,
there's like, sorry, out of cash.
Yeah, we're just done. We're closing up shop. I think one of our fans in X will definitely know the answer to that. I feel like Mark in Alabama. Yeah, he knows.
Yeah, he's a big XFL guy. All right. And then the only other coach that I have is wide receiver and pass game coordinator, Ben McDaniels. He's the brother of Josh McDaniels. He was a grad assistant with the Gophers for 2004 to 2005. He was also the Bears offensive assistant 2016 to 2017.
Wow. Don't remember that at all.
No, it's funny. Like, you know, brother of Josh, you think he'd have a hookup with like a lot of solid jobs. He's just been like had weird assistant jobs a lot of different places. So I want to say he was like the Michigan QB coach for him was like maybe the best. Well, I guess this is a big job, pass game coordinator, whatever that means.
That's very college. It is. You're right. I don't remember Lovey being like that with his staff at U of I. I just think he ran out of options. I really do.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Weird. There's a lot of stuff weird with this team. Well, let's go to the front office.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I did. Is one of his kids on his staff? Do you know that? You couldn't, not as far as you could tell.
You know,
that was a big, I remember a big issue starting with the Bears, even like the nepotism stuff, and that at U of I it became a huge deal too.
With Lovey specifically?
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
I didn't.
Who the fuck is this guy? Is like a big job. Like, he would be like, I remember he hired his son as like borderline defensive coordinator out of nowhere.
Really?
Not the son who's in prison. I think there's one in prison. Sorry.
Yeah, he got into like drug issues. Yeah. Well, let's look. I'm going to look real quick on their website layout's even terrible. Oh, wait. Miles Smith?
That's him. That's the
linebacker's coach.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
Oh, yeah.
I remember U of I fans were just in an uproar when Lovie elevated that guy to some job. Like, I can't remember. I don't remember all the details, but, like, who the fuck is this guy? Because I guess he was a complete clown, too. Like,
oh, really?
He was one of those guys like that told the players, like, you call me coach. Like, you call me coach. Like, that type of guy. And he's, like, the same age as most of the players, it felt like.
Oh, boy.
Come on, Miles.
Even better, the last line of his bio on the Texans website. His father, Lovie, is the head coach of the Houston Texans. Just a weird line to put on the website where, yeah.
It's like,
I totally missed that. I thought, okay. I just thought, that's not a dude that I know. Wow, good call.
Thanks.
Good call.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, all right. So let's move to the front office. The owners, I think, have some questionable stuff going on. The co-founder and senior chair is Janice McNair. She's one of 10 female NFL owners / co-owners. She's a wife of Bob McNair, who died in 2018 at 81. Bob owned some power companies or some bullshit like that. I was too lazy to look up what that meant. Bob, most before he died, had an issue with guys taking a knee during the national anthem. I think he had some like Me Too stuff as well. I didn't see that in Wikipedia, but maybe I'm thinking of the Panthers guy. I'm thinking of the Panthers guy.
Jerry like Richardson.
Jeans Friday or something. Like tight butts with the ladies.
I want to shave you. It was something about shaving. To like.
Yeah.
I can't back that up, but I think right. There was something.
You're right.
It?
There was, yes. Yeah, yeah. Ooh.
He had a weird
what
kink.
A creep that guy. Yeah. Oh, gross. Bob McNair also was Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's largest donor from 2009 to 2015, contributing $1.5 million. That dumbass fucking turtle face looking motherfucker, like just pumping cash his way. Why would Bob McNair give a shit? I guess he's a power plant guy. That makes sense. In 2015, Bob donated $10,000 to a group working to repeal a citywide equal rights ordinance in Houston. Mm-hmm. And he withdrew after being criticized for that. So Bob seemed like a real piece of shit, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. In this house, he would be a piece of shit. So
same with the Bill Doinks household.
Okay. All right. So fuck
you
him.
Can, yeah. Yeah. Fuck you. Fuck you, fuck Bob. You. Rotten We're hell.
In, yeah. Oh, okay. Not sure Jesus would like, not sure your starting cornerback Jesus Christ would like that one, Bill, but here we are. We're an anti-Bob McNair podcast, right? Can we just stamp?
We just declared it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If you're a Bob McNair fan, turn this off, because if you don't, we'll fucking kill you. Okay, the current CEO is Cal McNair.
Oh, I'm sure he's much different than Bob, right?
Yeah. Oh, we'll get there.
Yes.
He has 7 children. So congrats on the sex, Cal, with 2 different women. He's a big game hunter, apparently. He hunts buffalo, elephants, leopards, and lions. So that's usually well received.
And donkeys.
And donkeys. Give me that. I'm hunting for sauce. My 7 children need that sauce. Yeehaw! Donkey sauce. I'm Cal McNair. My children need just donkey sauce.
I have too many kids. They're so hungry.
That's what he says right before he shoots a donkey. I'm Cal McNair. I'm like you. Bang. Give me a sauce.
What right. part of the body does the sauce come from, Dan? What do you think?
Right underneath the chin.
Okay.
And the rest is just made, turns into glue.
Okay.
Is that what you do? Isn't that a horse? Is it gum? Horse is made into gum? Is that a true story?
I'm not sure. I think I've heard that, though. It doesn't really make sense, but...
The tendons are turned into chewy tendons.
I don't know if I've heard that or not, actually. I don't know why I would have heard that.
I don't either. Why is that in my head?
I don't know. It seems right. Somebody slide our DMs. Is there any horse in chewing gum?
Chewing gum. And if so, which one so we can chew nothing but those? Because
exactly.
I love chewing on some horses. Okay, so let's back to Cal McNair.
Sorry, yeah.
In October 2021, it was reported that Cal had referred to COVID as the China virus at a charity golf tournament benefiting the Houston Texans Foundation. He later apologized for using an inappropriate choice of words. So Cal might also not be a great person, I think, and might be a bad CEO as well. I don't know if you're familiar with Jack Easterby, who is the executive vice president of football operations. Sports Illustrated a few years ago wrote an article highlighting him and his weird path through the NFL. He's like a chaplain. He was a character coach for South Carolina from 05 to 2010. He was a chaplain for the Chiefs from 2011 to 2012. And he's with the Patriots as a character coach and team development guy from 2013 to 2018. But this article, if you haven't read it, I'd highly recommend it. He's just like a weasel of a dude. He like basically just buddied up with Cal, like basically just was in the building. You know, I don't think anybody really knew what his job was, but he was like the gossipy guy and got Bill O'Brien fired, which that's not a big deal because he was trash, but tried to like weasel his way into making football decisions. He's like a chaplain. And they're like, it's basically Ted Phillips. He's Ted Phillips of the Texans. And he got his buddy, Nick Caserio, hired as the GM who he was buddies with in New England.
That's right. That's right.
Sorry. He's a weasel.
It's all coming together. Yeah, this is why I placed a futures bet on Josh McCown. That was like one of the main reasons they wanted to bring him in because he was a like-minded, you know.
Christian? Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why it was super weird. Yeah, it would have made no sense, but it makes sense given that background. Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
He's a weasel, just an absolute weasel, and I feel like, I don't know what. It's just
and he's
creepy.
Still there? He's still in the front office?
He's worked his way up. He's executive vice president of football operations.
He is Ted Phillips.
Wow. Isn't that unbelievable?
Yes.
So that's it I got for the front office. I forgot to look up Gophers and Illini, so we're going to do it in real time here. Oop, I got one for you.
Okay.
Here's a rookie, Illinois rookie.
Linebacker?
Yep.
It's got to be Jake Hansen, right?
You got it. God, you're good.
Well, that makes sense. That was like Lovey's boy.
We got three Gophers, Bill. Linebacker Blake Cashman, new Texan. Tyler Johnson, who I coached called Rashad Bateman a few episodes ago.
Whoops.
And defensive back Eric Murray.
Murray.
Great show. Let's check in the practice squad. Sometimes they slip into there. Nope. That's it. That's all we got. So that's all I got for the Texans review, buddy. Real lame. Not a lot of juice. You know, the racist and scumbag front office people were kind of the best part of it. They're kind of – I did watch the Texans-Broncos game today. They're bad. They're not as bad
as
I was
terrible,
expecting.
Though, right? Yeah, right. It's – yeah.
They kind of feel like the Bears. The defense kind of holds its own. The quarterback play is real questionable. The talent around is also real questionable. Davis Mills kind of throws a good ball. His accuracy seems a little off, but hard to gauge. The Broncos might just all the way stink. They looked real bad. Their did you see any of that? Their fans
No,
were legitimately booing Russell Wilson, and they got so many delay of game penalties that the entire stadium was doing a countdown of the play clock for like the last quarter. It was weird.
Incredible.
Wilson and yeah, they don't look good. They don't look good at all. So
Nathaniel Hackett.
Oof, not good. He seems like he is clueless as well. But we're not talking about the Broncos. We're talking about the Texans. This is a good week. This is a good week for the Bears to get their shit together. If they don't throw it 11 times, this is a good week to do it. If they play like they did last week and we lose at home, there's going to be suicidal Bears fans. You shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. We kind of knew this was what it was this year. Mm-hmm. You could be upset about Fields not showing improvement if it continues. You can't. We're not going to the Super Bowl, guys. I know all you keeping receipts folks out there. Mm-hmm. Relax. Just relax. Yeah. It's gonna be a long season. It's just gonna be weird. We gotta see where this year takes us, especially with Fields. Relax.
Relax. Just relax. All right, baby. Thank you for all of your research, Dan. We'll see you in the next segment. Go Bears.
Go Bears. Fuck you, Lovey. And your son.
Do you have a bear that you fantasize about every Sunday? So do we. It's Bears Fantasy Corner. Zero doinks.
Zero doinks.
Zero doinks.
All right. Fantasy Corner was another hot week for us both. Let's just do a quick review. Bill, you won this week. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You had tight end Ryan Griffin. Mm-hmm. He had 2.05 fantasy points. And my pick, Velus Jones Jr., was inactive for the second straight week. His old bones can't stay up that late, apparently. So inactive means he had 0 points. So, Bill, you are 1-0-1 on the season. I don't know who we like this week. Do you want to go first again? I'm okay with you going first.
Sure.
We'll call it make it take it.
There you go. It's like, I still have the tee box. Excellent. Dan, thank you so much for giving me the floor again. You're generous. You always have been. And I really appreciate it, buddy. I'm going to go with a guy that is a can't miss, like most people on the Bears offense. So this segment is going as well as it has the prior 3 years. A lot of options, a lot of real options. I am going to go with a guy that I'm not sure if anybody's heard of. His name, Velus Jones Jr. He's got to play, right? His hamstring has to be right.
I think so.
He's.
I'm going to be honest, Bill. I was taking him if you weren't.
Oh, damn it. So, Velus Jones, welcome back to my squad. You're my quick to pick. How about you, Dan?
Okay, so I'm gonna be honest. I need a win this week. I need to even things out between the two of us. So I need to take the sure thing that will happen. A guy that I love, who's always reliable on this offense, and it's Cole Kmet. He's my click to pick. I love him. He's a can't miss this week. Mm-hmm. Soft on the tight end play. Cole Kmet, my favorite player of all time, is my click to pick. This is going to be a good week for us. This is going to be a good week for
us.
You know,
battle.
It's Velus could be inactive, and I'll somehow get negative points. That would be that would actually be an incredible way for one of these weeks to shake out, is a one Cole Kmet fumble, and then Velus takes the win from the sideline in his jumpsuit. Okay, let's do top performers this week. Any other thoughts? Sorry, before we get to it, Bill.
Well, real Bears quick, because we forgot this, and you mentioning Cole Kmet, and coming to his defense as you did so generously from the Packers review. Golden Cock, player of the game from Bears Packers, from as voted on by the fans and eggs. Cole Kmet got 2 votes.
Who gave him?
I don't remember who, but two. Rick Fieldsman was one of them.
That game of votes.
Monty got at least four, and I lost count, so he probably had more. And Dan Campbell got two votes. So, Dan, who deserves the Zero Doinks Cornish Hen Player of the Week from Week 2 Bears?
You know, the Dan Campbell thing, now that they might actually be decent and they're winning games, it might not be so funny anymore. He'll definitely win one this year, but I'm going to go Monty. That dude just seems like he won't quit, and he runs hard. So, David Montgomery, Golden Kayak.
Oh, thank you, Dan. I wish I could have handed the ball to Monty on the goal line. Things might have changed. Oh, hey, Cal McNair, don't shoost me this Thanksgiving. You're a big game hunter, and there's no bigger gamey meat than a Cornish hen. Don't shoost me. Don't shoost me. Congratulations, Monty.
Cal would. I bet he would eat a Cornish hen in one bite. He's a fat bastard as well.
Ah.
What? I don't know why this just popped to my head. If a Cornish hen was playing running back for the Bears, I think we've established that they wear shoes with buckles, right? Or yes. Is that just a me thing? Okay.
Yeah.
Like pilgrim shoes. Yeah. Is there a version where they have cleats do they have athletic pilgrim shoes, I guess is what I'm asking.
Wow, what a great question. I don't think so, just because they're not as developed of a species yet. They haven't figured, like, that would benefit them running in the woods to avoid hunters, right? So
yeah,
no, we should do right by the Cornish hen community though, and
right.
Hand them out to the needy hens. We should do that.
Do Cornish hens have knees?
I don't even know how to answer that. I don't know. I think they just have one knee, but they have four legs, so I don't know how that works.
I don't know why that's funny.
I don't know. It's just, I was not expecting that question. That was great. Oh, God. Oh, shit.
Whew. All right.
Bears Fantasy Corner.
Bears Fantasy Corner. All right, let's talk about the top performers this week. Do you want to guess, Bill, who the top performers are this week?
Oh, I know Lamar Jackson was involved. Beyond that, I don't know.
Yeah, he was second. Tua was first with 56 fantasy points. Josh Allen, 41 fantasy points. Top non-quarterbacks, Stephon Diggs, 35. The Bills might be all the way awesome. They might not lose a game this year.
Yeah,
they're incredible. God damn it. I don't hate the Bills. That's kind of fun. Speaking of the Bills, do you know the guy who gets hosed down with mustard and ketchup out in the parking lot? He's a Bills fan, and they, like, people stand on top of an RV and just hose him down. And
no, I've
condiments,
not
basically.
My, no, I don't
he's
know.
He's like an older dude. He's got like a beard, and he apparently does it for every home game. I just don't know how that started or what his end game is. But, like, how do you walk away from that? I feel like they show it any time the Bills are in prime time. I don't know how you, like, does he hop in a shower? Does someone have, like, is there a shower in that RV? It's a messy situation. Let's not talk about that anymore.
Okay.
Tyreek Hill is second with 33 points. And then the third highest performer this week is Amon-Ra St. Brown at 32 points. Is that right? St. Brown.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah,
that's right.
I just can't stop thinking about your question about Cornish hen knees.
Yeah, I feel like they have ACL problems, so the shoes might be a huge hit, but that could also just be in my dreams. Taysom Hill, trash performer of the week. Oh, you know what? I forgot to look up the trash performers. I looked up literally just Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill, by the way, on your fantasy yes. team, Bill, are you just trolling me?
Yes.
Is that true?
It's partially true. Actually, the pickings are slim with tight ends.
Okay. Well, that's fine. All right. The trash performer, Taysom Hill, by the way, had one fantasy point this week, so you deserve that.
Thank you.
We have four negative players this week. The worst player this week is a guy named DJ Dallas. That's a great name. Do you know that dude?
That's a great name. He used to be on the Seahawks. Is he still? I don't know. I don't know.
He had -2.25 points. It's not showing why. It doesn't say fumbled or anything. Maybe that's an error. Okay. Chuba Hubbard for the Panthers.
Oh, that's a great name.
He had a fumble. He had -2 points. Kyle Phillips, wide receiver for the Titans, -1.25 points. And then a wide receiver for the Steelers, Gunnar Olszewski, had -0.2 points. He had a 1 yard, 1 rush for 18 yards and negative, and he lost a fumble. So Gunnar Olszewski.
Yeah, I can't be a real person. It just
can't be a real person. No. Mitch getting benched soon. I feel like that chatter started, right?
Yeah, there was a headline that still the quarterback going into week 3, but yeah, I think sounds like Steeler fans were cheering for or calling on Pickett there in the stadium on Sunday. So it's inevitable.
Who'd have thunk it, huh?
Yeah, right.
Mitch might stink. Who'd have thought? Yeah, wow, I'm stunned. Absolutely stunned. Mm-hmm. But that's all we got for Fantasy Corner this week, Bill. I think I got you this week. Komet's going to have a huge game. He's always reliable. Always.
Okay. Well, you know what? I think I got you again. 2-0-1. Dan, real quick update. I Googled, do Cornish hens have knees? Nothing came up. But a very popular question, like the people also ask, do Cornish hens have bones?
Oh. And
the answer is Cornish hens are easily split in half thanks to their soft bones.
Ooh.
Oh. Osteoporosis.
So these shoes might be an even bigger deal. We can't have them hitting the turf when they're running through the forest. They're going to smash all their bones. And old Cal McNair is just going to scoop them up and eat them one bite. We got to do something about this, Bill.
Got to help them. We've yet to really contribute to society, so this is our chance.
This is our calling. Mm-hmm. Save the Cornish hens, specifically their knees.
Their bones are too soft. They need better shoes. This has been Bears Fantasy Corner. Thank you, Dan, for diving deep per usual.
Fuck you, Taysom Hill.
Bet, hedge, lose, reload. Bet, hedge, lose, reload.
Hams and bread. Hams and bread. Hams and bread. Hams and bread.
Zero doinks!
Yes, yes.
Zero doinks!
Yes.
Go!
Zero doinks!
Push the ball. Push the ball.
Hams and bread.
Go! Yes. Go! Kick it in!
Hams and bread.
Let's go!
Everybody's tuning in to get those hot, hot picks.
Oh, baby, it is that time. It is time to make you all the monies. It's hams and bread with hams and spreads right in the middle. Rick, give us your hot, hot picks.
When your eyes go over Rick's profile picture, what comes to mind?
He's a dummy.
We'll be right back.
Alright, Dunkers. We are back and better than ever. For the uninitiated, this is Rick Fieldsman. This is Hams and Spreads, the segment within Hams and Bread, the segment within Zero Doinks, the hottest Chicago Bears podcast on earth. Bears, I don't think they're good. I don't. I was really excited. I don't think they're good. It needs to rain every game, and we have a chance to get some more wins. 6.5 wins over under. I bet the over. It's coming into question, but maybe not. We'll see. Pessimistic Rick is in the house tonight. What I'm pessimistic about, I started Sunday 1-0, ended Sunday 1-3. It was a rough gambling weekend for those keeping score at home. I am 1-5 on the season, and that only means one thing, that I need to have 6 picks this weekend, and I've been reviewing the board. I love the board. It's like Rick always said, week 3 of the NFL is always the easiest gambling weekend of all time, and it begins Sunday, and it ends Sunday, and I love the board. I love the picks. I'm going to feed them to you. I'm not going to break them down as much as I usually do. Or am I? We'll find out together as a family. The Doinkers. Here we go.
Hams and Spreads pick 1.
Oh my gosh. Okay. These are in no particular order, except for the Printing Money's pick of the week. Eagles versus the Commanders. Now, I think the Eagles are the real deal. I hate the Eagles. I dislike the Eagles. I do not like the Eagles. They play the Bears December 18th. Bears are obviously going to win that game. But the Eagles play the Washington Commanders. And the Commanders are terrible. And the Eagles are giving 6.5 points. We're going all chalk, baby. We're going all chalk this weekend. Eagles minus 6.5 is the easiest bet on the board. Why is it not my Printing Money's pick of the week? That's for me to know and for you to find out. Minus 6.5. That's the first pick. Eagles. Let's go. Second pick.
Hams and Spreads pick 2.
We're going to go to a little team called the Chicago Bears. Now, the Bears are in trouble. This is a must-win game. They look bad. They are bad. They will be bad if they don't beat the Texans. The Bears are giving 3 points, and I'm a little weary of this. What's keeping me in it, though, is the 6-0 final score. Cairo Santos hits in 2 field goals. He's 2-for-6, but our defense shuts down Houston. I'm going to go the Bears, hump that under, but I'm going to go Bears, and I'm giving those points. Let's go to the next pick.
Hams and Spreads pick 3.
The Packers are the real deal. The Packers are the real deal. I was caught in some tomfoolery, same like last year. They got whooped up their first game versus the Vikings. Last year was the Saints. They're the real deal. Buccaneers, they cannot score. Packers can score. They figured something out. The young guns are going to do it. Packers are giving 2 points. We are absolutely riding the Packers on this one. 325 game. Those first 2 games were nooners. We're going 325. We're going to the next pick. Here we go.
Hams and Spreads pick 4.
Oh, here we go. Pick 4. 49ers versus the Broncos. Now, Broncos are bad. This quarterback is bad. His name is... He's from Seattle. He's bad. Russell Wilson, he's bad. Garoppolo is the real deal. I said it last week. Trash Lance. He's never going to get it done. So what did they do? The same people that put the hit on the Queen put the hit on Trash Lance. Garoppolo's in there. Garoppolo and the Niners are giving 1.5 points. I am absolutely riding the Niners versus the Broncos. We're 4-0 going into this next pick, which is actually before the pick that I gave, but that's okay. Here we go.
Hams and Spreads pick 5.
Jacksonville Jaguars versus the LA Chargers. Here's what I know about the Chargers. Not much. Here's what I know about the Jaguars. I don't know much about them. But the Jaguars are getting 7 points, and it's like Rick always says, if any team's ever getting 7 points, you bet on that team. Jaguars are going to beat the Chargers straight up. Oh, they shut out the Colts. The Chargers are worse than the Colts. Jaguars, plus 7. We are absolutely riding the Jaguars, and we're going to our final pick.
As in spreads, pick 6. Printing money's pick of the week.
Oh, we are not sponsored this week. 1-5 is not going to do it. We need to right this ship. I will be 7-5 going into week 4, and we're going to have all the sponsorships available. But here's where we're going. A little matchup of the former NFC Central, current NFC North, Lions versus Vikings. Okay. Vikings are not good. I'm starting to drink the Lions Kool-Aid. I said at week 1, I said, no way. They are trash. I'm starting to become a little bit of a believer. Lions plus 6. That's too many points. And it's like Rick always says, if any team in the NFL is getting 6 points, you bet on that team. So we're going with the Lions. It's a noon game. That's our printing money's pick of the week. Absolutely ride that one. And there we have it. Those are 6 of the hottest picks you've ever heard. If you parlay those and put a $5 wager on it, you got $260 sitting in your pocket plus 5,000 odds. I love those odds. I'm going to send it back to the boys. And as always, have a good one at the windows.
Absolutely perfect. It's so true.
Pretty upbeat for a guy who I think is one for the year, right? I still trust him. I would not fade Rick Fielsman, personally.
I would. Mm-mm. Nope, don't do it. Just like the Bears, you don't give up on Rick this early. You don't give up on the Bears, Justin Fields. If he was Cole Kmet, you'd give up on him because he's trash. But Rick is the opposite of trash. He sounds refreshed after the Queen's. The Queen has been laid to rest. Mm-hmm. Finally, he got some sleep. Rick's going to be easing me on fire. This is not the time to fade him at all.
No. He needed the Queen to be buried. And
oh, yeah, for sure.
Now that that has happened, according to you, it's Rick time, baby. It is. I assume that there's a line for Bears Texans.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Vegas has,
there always is. Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bears against the spread are 1-1. The Texans are 2-0 against the spread so far. The over for both of these teams is 0-2.
Mm-hmm.
So that under is looking real spicy. All right. Bears minus 3. Bears minus 3 is even money this week. They're favored. This will probably be one of the few games this year that they'll be favored, but even money means they are begging for you to take the Bears giving the points. The over under is 40.5. I know you're gonna ask. Bears money line is minus 150, Texans plus 130. What do you like, Bill?
Well, I like a bounce back. I like a story of redemption. I like a guy coming in that the fans are lukewarm on still in Lovie Smith. And I like our guy Justin Fields against a cover two. So I like the Bears. I would hump all of it, except the points would be boring. So I would just go money line. And you know what? I'd go over. I'd say mix it up. There's points to be had out there. They'll probably combine for what? They just need 41 points between both teams, right? Yeah, that'll happen. Both run defenses probably stink. So that's probably what the afternoon's looking like. So yeah, Bears and the over. Those would be my picks. Dan, how about you?
Yeah, I like giving the points. I like the Bears minus 3, but I also like maybe adjust it a little bit. Minus 6.
Ooh.
6.5, something like that. I think the Bears are going to win by a touchdown. This is going to be a bounce back game for Justin, just like Mitch in 2020 throwing 3 touchdowns. Same is going to be said for Justin. We're going to run the ball. If we get anywhere near the goal line, we have to give it to Montgomery this time. I think I feel good about it. I think it's going to be a win. Give some points and then give a little more. I like the under. I think these teams stink. Points seem to be hard to get. It's going to be field goals all over the place. Yeah. So, you know, that speaking of betting, I shot you guys a screenshot. I had a wager of my only bet of the Bears Packers game was over 1.5 extra points by Cairo Santos. So that last touchdown that didn't happen, really, that lost me some money. So I wasn't thrilled about that. But I like the idea of playing that over under extra points for the rest of the year. That's my favorite.
I feel like that's new too. I know you found last week the I can't even remember what it was, but
field goal and touchdown.
Yeah, right. Which would have been obviously a loser last Sunday, but yeah, you are like Rick Fieldsman Jr. over here, just finding all these angles. It's great.
Yeah, they're not even like great odds. I just like worrying about things nobody cares about. Like that's when everyone goes to take a piss. As I'm hanging on the edge of my seat. Is Cairo Santos going to hit this extra point? Are we kick the field goal? Doesn't count. It's extra points, baby. Mm-hmm. That's what I need. Mm-hmm. Kick them, hold them, snap them. I don't know. I went in reverse order there. Giving me Cairo.
Love it.
We like the Bears, though. I like that we're both on the Bears. Pretty confidently on the Bears.
Yes. Yes. I wouldn't think twice. I agree that the Texans don't seem nearly as bad as they should be, but I think we're just better. We're just enough for 1 week head to head. We can make this happen.
We can. I love it. Mm-hmm. Bill, what other games in the NFL do you like? I know you were looking at the slate earlier today, sitting at your desk. Mm-hmm. What games? Mm-hmm. Give them to me.
Well, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Minnesota plays Detroit and Green Bay plays Tampa. So those two games absolutely catch my eye. I have no idea what the what the lines are, though. I don't know what Vegas thinks about these two. So tell us about them, Dan.
Oh, man. Specifically those? Well, I don't have
them. Tell us about the games that you like.
Okay. I like two games. We'll get back to the games you just mentioned. But the first game I like is Kansas City -6.5 at Indianapolis. I like the Chiefs giving just shy of a touchdown and the extra point to the Colts. The Colts are maybe the worst team in football. Getting shut out in Jacksonville. Are they serious? No way. Chiefs are going to blow them out. They're going to blow them out of the fucking water. Chiefs -6.5. What do you like?
Yeah, we are in lockstep, and it's, well, I can't remember what Rick usually says there, but stepmom, lockstep mom?
Yeah, lockstep mom. Great typo. That made no sense.
Yep, it's amazing. Yeah, I mean, the Colts, is Matt Ryan dead? Is their offense dead? Jonathan Taylor not doing incredibly through 2 weeks. Yeah, I'm giving up all the way up on the Colts. And I think we were laughing about them in the preseason about how much love their GM gets for switching quarterbacks every year. So they're getting what they deserve.
Yeah, I thought they'd be better. It surprised me. He's first coach fired, probably Frank Reich, right? Ooh. Like at this point, he's got to be. I wonder if they have odds for that yet.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Okay.
Matt LaFleur.
All right. So
will not be fired.
Far from it. Next game. Let's do, what about fewest wins? Let's see where the Bears land there. They're +1,300. Seahawks, Panthers, Jets, Texans, and Falcons are better odds. How do we say that?
Yeah.
Worse odds? Confused. What do we say?
Yeah, right.
So the Bears, according to DraftKings, they should be the sixth worst team as of right now.
Okay.
Other game that I like, the Raiders. The Rams are at Arizona. Arizona's getting 3.5 at home. I like a divisional home dog getting more than a field goal. I'll take the Cardinals, even though I don't totally trust them. They had a come from behind win. Kyler Murray, he looks like he's shrinking. He looks like he is about 4'10" at this point. But he was running all over the field. He had the ball for like 20 seconds on that. Was that a two-point conversion? It was, right? Did you
not
see it?
Not entirely sure. Oh. No. I heard about it, but I did not see the
kind of funny. He looks like a little kid running around out there. But just give me the points at home with the Cardinals, the Rams. Good. Still not buying it. So I'll take the Cardinals +3.5.
I can't do it. I dedicated the pre-week one to just bashing the Cardinals, and I can't go back on that yet. I think they're the worst team in the NFL. I said it, so I got to stick with it. I'm going Rams -3.5 is my pick. Is that right?
3.5. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. That's fair. I can't fault you for that. Okay. Lions at Minnesota. Why don't you guess the line? Do you know? Just give me a guess.
No, I don't know it. I am going to say, man, that is a tough call. At Minnesota, I'm going to say Vikings -2.5.
Six.
Wow, too many. Vikings minus too many six. Points. Too
Feels
many
like points. A lot of points.
Mm-hmm.
Do we feel good about the Lions on the road?
We shouldn't. We shouldn't. Probably shouldn't, yeah.
But the game's not prime time, so Kirk Cousins is going to be better.
I can see the wheels spin in your head. Six is probably the perfect number. They probably win by seven. They probably will.
Yeah, win by seven.
Mm-hmm. Shit.
Maybe buy a point with the Lions and then give some points back with the Bears.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That'll get you on a nice little parlay there.
I like
a pair
it.
Of those. Okay, how about Packers at the Bucks? I actually had this one on my list initially, and then I pulled it. But what do you think the line is there?
I am gonna. It's at Tampa. You said
at Tampa.
They're missing maybe their whole wide receiver crew, so that stinks. And Akeem Hicks got hurt. There's a shock. but they're still favored. I'm sure. I bet Tampa's favored by 4.5.
Only two points.
I'm bad at guessing lines.
Over-under's 42, which is low, but the Tampa's defense is awesome, right?
Yes.
Aren't they playing really well?
I guess
Hicks maybe being out. I don't know how productive he's been so far, but I don't know. I don't feel great about either side of that. Tampa also feels like they can't score, so maybe the under.
Rodgers stinks in the state of Florida, though, right? Is that
that's
like
right.
a weird stat? So
that's right.
Doesn't make any sense. So I'm going to ride that. I like riding weird trends.
Has he never won in Florida?
Hopefully Rick talks about this in Hams and Spreads. I don't know. I'm not sure.
He's never covered. You had this stat, I think, last season, and I can't remember.
Yeah. Or some weird since they had to start the year against the Saints in Florida and then the Saints just kicked
his
ass. I think that's where it came from. I don't remember the details. I'm an idiot.
Sounds like Tampa's the play. I just talked my Tampa -2 is the play. Just do it.
Okay.
Put that in with your parlay with buying a point with the Lions and then doing a pleaser of sorts with the Bears. And pleasure yourself.
In front of your own parents.
I'm on another tangent here. Have you seen the new? You have kids, like myself.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the new Pinocchio movie yet?
I have. Yeah.
If you're wanting to see Pinocchio and you don't want spoiler alerts, just fast forward here a little bit.
Which would be hilarious if somebody didn't want the new Pinocchio spoiled. Like they got it queued up.
Yeah. It's the same story. I don't know that I've ever actually seen Pinocchio or all the way through. But,
yeah. I'm with you there.
Do you have an issue with Pleasure Island being the, is that the name? That's the name of it, right?
Yeah.
Where they send the kids and they turn them into fucking donkeys.
Yes.
Do you have an issue with that?
I, oddly enough, for as strange as my brain is, didn't really think pervertedly about it, if you will.
Okay.
Or perversely. And so I guess the answer is no. By default, the answer is no. You, did you see that and be like, that's a little weird with
children like
involved? Okay.
Yeah. I don't, I guess I associate that word that, and it shouldn't have children involved unless you're making them. So I'm, it's a no go for me. The other issue I have, and it is also related to this, Pinocchio and Geppetto at the end are just like, well, here we go. I'm turning into a boy. Like, story's over. Why is nobody concerned about the kids that got turned into donkeys? There's no resolution on that. They're just like, there's like smoke monsters turning kids into donkeys with root beer, which if you're listening to this and you haven't seen the movie, which will sound very weird. And yes, it was.
Yeah.
There's just no, just like, hey, oh, those kids, they work in salt mines now as donkeys and making donkey sauce, whatever is going on.
Yeah. A lot of donkey talk this episode. They, yeah, I guess because the kids are shitty. Like, they might as well be donkeys. Like, okay, the world could use more donkeys, and Cal McNair could definitely use more donkeys. So maybe that's it. I thought the route you were going was, how come when Pinocchio finally became a real boy and, like, yeah, you see his wooden legs. Pinocchio, by the way, does have knees, just in case anybody was wondering. He definitely has knees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He, like, you know, he the wood turns into skin. Like, yep. Nobody really, wouldn't that be like the greatest miracle you ever saw when that transformation happened? Like,
yeah,
like Geppetto didn't really react, did he? And Geppetto pretty much came back to life on that beach, also, which was also miraculous. There was a tear, hence the wood getting soft, turning into skin. But you know, it's like, oh yeah, yeah, he's a real boy. Like, yeah, just like I wished. I guess what I'm saying, bigger cause for celebration, and not really like Jiminy Cricket, like kind of a big deal that there's a cricket that's dressed really nice. Like, we should probably acknowledge this a bit more about how strange this is. We should, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, nothing. Geppetto just went with the flow with everything. Like, I made this wood boy, and I wished he was real, and then he was real, and he's just like on board immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cricket. Okay, a few other questions that came up. Sorry, this is turning into Pinocchio time. So if you were looking
Pinocchio
for spoilers,
and bread.
Pinocchio and bread. Wooden bread. A question that my daughter's brought up, and it was very good when he's chugging the root beer in Pleasure Island. The question came up, does Pinocchio have a digestive system?
It's a great question.
Is it wood inside, or is it like PVC pipe? I feel like wood and I feel like that would be an issue for his insides.
I would agree. I don't know if that leads to it. Does that lead to your next question? Where are you going with your next question?
Well, it's unrelated. It's unrelated to that, but you're talking about like, where's he piss or shit, you know, stuff like that.
Does he have a penis? Yeah. does Pinocchio have a penis?
Well, that'd be an issue if I assume he didn't, because unless Geppetto is just a freak, he's making a boy with a dick. Right. Because
he had to have carved a wooden penis under those trousers.
Butthole too.
He had to. Oh boy.
Okay. Let's not. We don't need to explore that anymore.
Yeah, we don't need to.
I think we can just assume that he did do all of that. But my other question: this is in Italy, right, Geppetto? The big fat guy, Stromboli, which I've been calling all of my daughters Stromboli since then. Okay. why doesn't Pinocchio have a an Italian accent?
I mean, I think because he's a puppet, Dan. Puppets.
He's just American. He's just like, I'm from Toledo.
Does Jiminy Cricket have an accent? Actually, now that we're,
I don't.
Is Jiminy Cricket British?
I think so, but I have less of an issue with that because he's a cricket.
But you prefer your puppets to have geographically accurate tones. I get it.
If you're carving genitalia onto a young wooden doll, I need them to follow the same dialect that the owner has. Yeah. I think.
I get it.
Those wooden clocks were sweet, though. I enjoyed those.
Yeah.
He's good at that.
Glad there was an L in that word that you just used. Absolutely.
We also had a long discussion about how awful that room smells because he sleeps in that room that he's selling the clocks. He, like, someone's like, I want to buy a clock. He's like, nope.
It's like, I'm not selling what are you the doing clock. There? Right.
How?
Why is that guy stopping by at like at 9 o'clock though? Like,
I don't know.
That's weird.
Yeah.
So it's his house and a store and a
and
a wood shop.
And a wood shop.
Saving on rent, I guess.
He has to smell awful though. And what do you rate the movie?
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
I like that.
I give it 3 Strombolis.
Okay.
Yep.
And I think your rating system only goes to 3. Last I read about it. Yeah, it's a great family film. It'll bring up more questions than answers.
Right.
And pretty violent. Like when that wish started coming true, if you will. Right. When how'd Geppetto sleep through that? How do you sleep?
I mean, no idea.
There's a lot going on. There's a goddamn princess just showed up. Or princess? Is that what she was? Fairy godmother. Fairy?
Some type of fairy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Also, don't believe she was Italian.
No, I don't think so. All right. This has been America's favorite gambling segment. And thank you for listening. Big Ten Talk coming up next.
It's a me, Geppetto. I have a boy with the wooden cock.
I've been watching the film at night.
Divine Legacy is more than bricks and mortars.
I wanted to save Gotham. I failed.
Why do we force? So that we can learn to pick ourselves up.
You still haven't given up on me.
Never.
Weirdest Big Ten minute, and I love it so much.
Big Ten minute.
A bunch of fat, pale Midwesterners just roaming around Pasadena.
You love the Illini, and I have a life.
I bleed orange and blue.
Gophers -3 is my pick. I respect your love for the Illini.
Shove it, shove it, shove it. Row, 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 shove, shove, shove. I'm, like, pretty much the only Gopher fan that people know. Big Ten Minute. Your Illini were off last week. Much needed rest after, 3 weeks of football, whatever it is. The Gophers, holy shit, are they awesome. Gophers beat the shit out of the Buffaloes. Buffalo? Is it Buffaloes or Buff? Why is it tripping me up? This is 2 weeks in a row.
The Buffaloes. Buffaloes.
Buffs. Mm-hmm. All right. It's a cool name. I'm not knocking it. I think I'm just struggling with it. Anyway, Gophers win 49-7. Mo Ibrahim with 3 rushing touchdowns, and 202 yards rushing. He has 7 TDs already on the year in 3 games. Tanner Morgan with 3 TDs. The Gophers are just rolling. They we have the Ottman Bell. They're maybe one of their top receivers out for the season. I sent you a screenshot that he's applying for a seventh year in the NCAA. He's already over Velus Jones Jr. territory. Gophers are rolling. They have a big game this week against Michigan State, 2:30 on Saturday. Gophers opened up as slight dogs, are now favored. They're they're 2.5 point favorites. Over under is 51. Let's just get it over with. I fucking love the Gophers this week. I think they're going to destroy Michigan State, who's coming off a loss to Washington. Mm-hmm. Michigan State, by the way, went from 11 to unranked. Is that right?
Wow.
I think they fell all the way out of the standings. So, this is a big game for the Gophers. Like, it's hard to tell. They've played some dog shit teams, even though Colorado's a Pac-12 team and they schedule them. They maybe weren't this bad, but they've been taking care of business. They run the ball really well. Tanner Morgan seems to have figured out now that the old OC is back. I love the Gophers. Take them, lick them, stick them, flick them, row the boat. How about your Illini, Bill? Did they win last week?
They definitely defeated the bye. That was fantastic. Very exciting. Yeah, definitely lick a gopher. I like that Dan said lick them. During the bye week, what did not happen was Chase Brown getting caught in the NCAA rushing leader scoreboard. He leads all rushers with 496 yards and rushing yards per game at 165.3. Number two, Mo Ibrahim. Right behind him, 464 and 155 yards per game. So that's going to be a fun little Big Ten minute battle to track.
Yeah.
So that is red hot. The Illini are back in action this week. They play Thursday night, completely random, against Chattanooga, the team that they damn near lost to in the NCAA tournament in March. So that'll be interesting. Don't know if there's a line out. Don't know if there's ever a line when you play a team a level down. But it is an opportunity for Brett Bielema to get to 500 as head coach at Illinois, which would be the first coach through 16 games at Illinois to do such things since John Makovic did that.
Whoa.
And that was early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. So that tells you what has happened to Illinois football in the last 30-some years. Zook didn't do it. Ron Turner didn't do it. Lou Tepper, that beautiful man, didn't even do it, although he was 7-8-1. I just have this in front of me. If I knew this off the top of my head, that'd be very sad. Big opportunity. They could go 3-1 on the year. That would be fantastic. That would be great as they get back into Big Ten season the week after. So, big game. Don't fall into the trap. Let's go Illini. Beat the Chattanoogs.
I did not find a line for this game, but I saw the over-unders 38.5. That can't be right, is it? I'm going to check again. I was surprised. It seemed off because Chattanooga, I think, they're undefeated, right?
I think so. Yeah, they're kind of frisky. I'd be lying if I didn't tell you I was a tiny bit nervous.
Yeah, 38.5 according to Action Network or whatever this app is that I use.
Okay. Illinois' defense is pretty awesome, so maybe that's what they're assuming, that it'd be like 31-3. But
okay.
I don't know. I don't know if that would happen.
Well, it's good luck to your boys. Anyway. Thursday night. And it's on Big Ten Network.
Yeah, super weird. I'll be the only person watching it, I think.
Very strange. I don't know. I don't feel good about that.
I think Thad and I will be watching it.
You two. I'll check it out. I got nothing going on.
Yeah.
I'll check it out. Any other games you like? There's the other Big Ten game of note, I guess, is Wisconsin at Ohio State. But that spread is pretty aggressive. Ohio State's given 19 points at home.
That's a lot of points. I'm curious to see Iowa out there playing a real team again. They're at Rutgers. That's going to be interesting. Michigan at home again, playing Maryland. They're probably 40-point favorites again, just because that's what's been happening. Northwestern, I hope, has the week off. Can we talk about them losing at home to Southern Illinois?
No, they're playing this week. They play Miami of Ohio.
Ah, okay.
7-point favorites. But yeah, you're right. Losing to Southern Illinois. Frank was in the house, right?
Yeah, he was. And his buddy Sean, our favorite spicy chicken contest host, with an ejection at the end of the game, our guy Sean. That was
what for?
An unbelievable video. He went on the field. Oh, check. You got to go back into the hand. Actually, if you go to @ZeroDoinks on Twitter, I retweeted it because he made some randos Twitter handles. He was having that great of a time, shirtless, and just having the time of his life. And there's a GoFundMe for legal bills that he may or may not have to pay.
Oh, that's fantastic. Totally worth it. Probably banned for life from Northwestern football games. Who cares?
Who cares? And he's not, I think he played offensive line at Western or Eastern. So I wonder if he's just representing the little guy beating a big time team.
That's awesome.
He seemed very excited. Yeah. Absolutely electric.
Right in Frank's face. The cat fan. Cat guy. Yep. Oops. Yep. Not great.
Not ideal. Not ideal, but worth it, like you said. Go Cats!
Go Cats. Meow, meow, meow. I got nothing else, Bill. Big 10 minutes. Big week for the Gophers. If they win this week, I'm only going to think about winning the Big 10 West. That's it. Yeah. From here on out.
Are they ranked yet, Minnesota? Are they votes? No.
No, I mean, they've beaten the shit out of everyone, but they've basically played, you know, Frank's old high school team.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why I picked Frank out of a hat there, but they've not played anybody good. So if they went on the road against Michigan State, who was just ranked, that would be a real win. I did this weekend run into a few Michigan State fans.
Okay.
They hate Mel Tucker.
Oh, boy. That's
I don't know
good.
What, like, I was a little surprised because he's done fairly well. I mean, I just asked their opinion without giving mine because I think he sucks as a coach and he's just fallen into great jobs. Very negative. I was a little surprised. And this was before they lost on Saturday.
That doesn't make any sense then.
No.
Are they also former Bears fans? Or former are they Bears fans, I guess?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yes. They're very upset about Mel Tucker, especially getting $100 million contract, whatever it was, 10-year, whatever. Well, yeah. Is that what he got? $100 million over 10 years?
It might have been. I mean, that's an overreaction.
Right?
Yeah.
Just crazy.
Yeah, I guess that's Mark Trestman era hatred that has not left their bodies, I guess. So I can see that. I can appreciate that, I guess. All right. That's it for me too, baby. This has been Big 10 Minute.
Row the boat, Guy Fieri.
Bill, you can have this win. Enjoy it while it lasts. A line I will let you down. A line I will make you hurt.
Ho! Warning! Vroom vroom! Auto sports. Dip shits. Dipsticks.
Max Verstappen.
Dip shits and dipsticks.
Lewis Hamilton.
Dip shits and dipsticks.
Ferrari.
With the owner of Grease Tank Racing, Grease Tank himself. Dip shits and dipsticks. Sir Dice.
Red Bull.
Auto Sports.
And welcome back to Dip Shits and Dipsticks with your boy Grease Tank. IndyCar season ended last weekend, unfortunately, but there are still two major races going on. One's still deep in the playoffs, and another one's hitting the home stretch with a few races to go, and it's kind of over with Max Verstappen. Special shout-out to Northwestern for losing to Southern Illinois and ruining my birthday weekend, so thank you for that. Let's get right into NASCAR. The boys were under the lights in Bristol last weekend, and another week, another driver not in contention winning the race. Chris Buescher, God, I can't say that name, led for a third of the 500 laps to secure a second career win. There were a lot of mechanical failures in this race. I counted no less than 6 blown tires. I blame that towards the new gen NASCAR and the fact that they're racing Bristol at night for the first time. But it unfortunately led to 2 playoff drivers finishing in the back of the pack. So sorry, Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick, but you guys are out of the playoffs. And I still don't understand how the playoffs work. Next week, they head to Texas Motor Speedway for the next round of the playoffs. For this race, you got to keep an eye out on Ryan Blaney. Since 2019, he hasn't finished worse than 8th place, and even won the All-Star race at that location this summer. Now, finishing with Formula One, Max Verstappen wins another race. No, I'm just kidding. I actually can't read their schedule, and turns out they're not racing in Singapore for another 2 weeks, so sorry about that. In the meantime, I crunched some numbers. Charles Leclerc, if he wanted to win the championship this year, he would need to win and qualify first in every remaining race, while Max finishes no better than 7th place. So, good luck with that, and we'll see how that turns out. In other news, today, about a few hours ago, they released the 2023 schedule, and there are a record number of races next year, a total of 24. Wow. And 3 of those races are in the States. We've got Miami in May, Texas in October, and Las Vegas in November. And the schedule also brings back 2 old venues that we haven't seen in a while, one in China and one in Qatar. And with all that said, that's it for Dipshits and Dipsticks. Remember to check your dipsticks, and as always, grit meets grease.
Dip shits, dip sticks, dip shits and dip sticks. It's dip shits and dip sticks with Grease Tank. Dip shits and dip sticks. Sir Dukes.
Vroom vroom.
Auto Sports.
Whoa, season 4, Zero Dorks. Have you ever wanted to follow us? Do it at Zero Dorks. Instagram at Zero Dorks. Twitter at Zero Dorks. Slip into our DMs, wet, wet, wild. If the hams are a slapping, don't come a slapping. If the hams are a slapping, don't come a slapping. At Zero Dorks and the World Wide Web, www.zerodorks.com. Buy some of Rick Fieldsman's used underpants. Zerdikes.
Banjo. Banjo. Banjo.
Banjo.
Let's finish this motherfucker up. This episode's been fun. A lot of donkey talk. A lot of Pinocchio talk. If you haven't seen Pinocchio, I don't care if you see it or not. It's real weird. Especially if you don't have kids and you're watching it. You should be on a list somewhere. All right. Bliss and Pleasure Island. All right, we're in the outro. This is where we're going to do Toffee Talk. Toffee Talk? Yeah. We ready for Toffee Talk?
Let's do it.
It's Toffee's Corner.
Football.
It's soccer time.
Add it, you know, your history. It's enough to make your heart go. Whoa.
Toffee's Corner.
Ooh, love your kit, Dan.
Corner kicks.
Our boys in blue.
Top of the table.
Toffee, Toffee, Toffee.
Let's do it. All right. Everton played this week. They were the only game, I believe, on Sunday because the Queen requested that all EPL games be canceled for like 4 straight months. That's the way it seems. Sorry, that was for the Queen. Everton playing without Jordan Pickford. They win their first game of the season, Bill. They win 1-0 at home against West Ham. They're now 13th on the table. They do not play again until October 1st. I believe we call this an international break? Question mark.
Okay.
I don't know why, like where they're going or who's playing what. It's the World Cup, I think, is November. I don't know. A lot of breaks. A lot of breaks in the soccer season.
Yeah. I don't understand it. I completely forgot about the game.
Yeah, of course you did.
As I tend to. Are they allowed to score more than one goal a game, Everton, or is there some kind of bylaw?
Yeah, no, they don't. They would prefer not to, which is a problem with Pickford out because he's usually. But I mean, they had what they call it, a clean sheet. They had a clean sheet this week, Bill. Okay. So they're right in the middle. 13th on the table is not bad. They were hovering around relegation zone for a while, so that win pulled them out of that a bit. So whatever.
Okay. All right.
Yep. Let's
go Toffees.
Go Toffees. Let's do. You want to talk about your socks?
Baseball talk. Here we go. Hams and Ted.
Yeah.
We're nearing the end, right?
We are. Yeah, well, and this week kind of decides if Bill Doinks spends any time with them at all as they're playing game one of three against Cleveland as we speak. Sox are down by four games, I should say. With these three, they really need to sweep them. Dan Bernstein put it in good perspective today when he said, essentially, get a look at it like they're down 3-1 in the series right now. So they got to sweep to get the tiebreaker. They would get the tiebreaker, and then you just got to tie Cleveland by the end of the season. At that point, so they're tied 3-3, bottom of the seventh right now. So we'll see what happens. Yeah. They were down 1-0, went up 3-1. Aaron Bummer blew it, but they got a really, really lucky call at home. The Sox did. A dude looked like he slid in safe, but he was called out, and I think Cleveland did not have their challenge anymore. Oh, thank goodness. So we'll see what happens. So if they lose tonight, I'm not paying attention anymore. So
okay.
So I think you're probably rooting for Cleveland because you're sick of baseball talk.
No, I just don't pay attention. I do know a Chicago team that was down 3-1 to Cleveland in 2016, so anything's possible.
There you go.
I'm totally over the baseball talk. The only thing that I have is I would love for Albert Pujols to fall one short of getting 700 home runs. That's all I got to say. I get a lot of texts from my buddies about Pujols, and I'm like, guys, I do not care. Mm-hmm. I absolutely do not care, and I hope he gets – like, I want him to hit like his last at-bat. I want it to be over the wall, and someone catches it and pulls it back. Like, I want it to be painful.
Yeah, because he's promised that he's not coming back, right? Like, no matter what happens, even if he's stuck at 699.
I don't – yeah. And if he, even if he did, it's like, oh, you're just doing it for the stats.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I hope it falls in horrible fashion. So, just wanted to get that off my chest. I think it's enough baseball talk. Bill, you were out on Sunday and you missed the game.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you, buddy?
Oh, I was riding my ass off with Rory Doinks, Pat Doinks. It was awesome. Keith Doinks. We haven't talked about Keith Doinks ever. It was fantastic. I saw the Giuliana Theory, who I love. I saw Jimmy Eat World for the second time in 12 hours. I saw Nine Inch Nails close it out. Holy shit, does Nine Inch Nails know what they're doing? And I'm still exhausted. I'm a little bit injured, but I also had a long run this weekend. So I'm having some neck and back issues from probably standing up after running the 20 miles. But it was worth it. Absolutely worth it. Had a few hams. Got a little sunburn. It was great. Douglas Park puts on a hell of a show. It's a great time. Great time. Riot Fest 2022.
Nine Inch Nails was your favorite.
They're unbelievable.
Favorite performance?
Yes. They kicked you in the nuts in the best way possible and did not stop. My ears are still ringing. The amount of bass I didn't know it was even possible. I would imagine people heard them like in Evanston. It felt so loud. It's unbelievable.
Frank, let us know if you heard him.
Yeah.
And you saw Jimmy World the night before as well?
Yeah. Night before, Rick Fieldsman gave me a last minute, hey, what you doing tonight sort of situation. They had a midnight show at Metro to warm up before Riot Fest. And of course we went. And got home at 2:30 and woke up and went back to rock out in the city again. That was a lot. It was a lot of music, but totally worth it. Rick is one of the most fun people to see a show with. He is electric. He has all sorts of predictions about what's going on. He was talking and he was mesmerized the entire time. I should have talked about this in Hams and Bread. Because I don't know if you – did you see on Twitter about the guy with the 25-team parlay? Did you know anything about this? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So that was happening as we were at the show. We were trying to see how it played out. He'd already cashed out, but we were very curious to see how his last two wagers went, see if he'd go 25 for 25. So I guess that begs the question, Dan. If you put down $7.24 to win $1 million, you've done wagers like that before.
Yep.
And you hit the first 23 and you were able to cash out for $250,000 instead of roll the dice for $1 million. Would you do that? That's my first question.
I gotta know the time frame. Like, how much time do I have to decide? Because the longer I have to think about it, the more likely I'm gonna cash it out.
Okay. Let's say you feel let's say one of those last two bets is going a little sideways, but you're still like favorite. Let's say you had somebody at -6.5. They're up 7, but they're not looking great. And you've got to make that decision within like 2 minutes. You're on the app. You're cashing. Okay.
I'm cashing out. Would you?
Yeah, I think so. I think if you put 250, and that's not totally what happened in this story, but, if you gave me that. Yeah, this guy, he had the option to cash out at 100,000, right? And he kept pressing cash out, cash out, cash out. It didn't work. He was all over FanDuel customer service saying, I am trying to cash this bet out.
And oh, really?
Like, yeah, and they said, well, it has to be approved. It's not just a button and you automatically get it. And so he started losing his fucking mind on Twitter, and then FanDuel reached out and I guess worked out a $252,000 cash out, basically. And he accepted it. And then he ended up winning those last two wagers, so he would have won $1 million. So, I was going to say, would you go to bed that night thinking I won $252,000 or I lost $750,000?
Oof, that's a good question. I'd probably be kicking myself a little bit, but I think I could sleep easy. I got a lot of shit to pay for that would that would alleviate some pain financially, so no, I think I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
Especially for $7. That's in my dumb brain, I'd be like, I could do it again. I could do it again this weekend. So I would. Would you? You'd be kicking yourself. You're more of a, if I know you at all, Bill, you're a guy that would let it ride.
I don't
see you cashing out, honestly. If I had to guess, you'd let it ride. All the way to the end.
It's such a big amount of money that I don't even know if I could fathom the numbers that would be on that cash out button. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I could actually get this. I think I'd probably cash out. I don't know.
What is the approval? Like, I guess I have. What kind of a? I'd be more worried that FanDuel would screw me over and be like, oh, actually, you can't cash this out, and they would, like, it wasn't approved for some reason. Like, they'd find a way to not approve it.
Yep.
They'd be like, we'll give you a credit of some bullshit, like some bullshit like that.
You get a no-sweat bet for $1 million.
Or they try to, like, settle it with you in some fashion. Like, we'll give you 50 grand, or you can take 100, and I don't know. It's,
yeah. I don't know.
Why, and why would you hit a button and then it would need approval? What dollar amount needs an approval?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Don't give you the option if you're not going to like, if it needs an approval. Oh my God, I'd be a disaster.
Yeah.
If I put a $7 parlay in for that much money, I would, it would kill me if I was that close. I have a bad heart anyway. That it would just explode.
Well, and Rick was funny too. He was like, I think Rick said basically, if Twitter did not exist, this guy is a millionaire. Like, it was because of his, you know, bitching on Twitter basically that got FanDuel's attention, that they should reach out to him and try to settle it.
Oh, so you wouldn't,
you know
have
what I mean?
Yeah,
because you wouldn't have had it, you know, it probably meant,
that's a good point.
Because they probably wouldn't have cared if FanDuel thought that nobody else knew about it, and like you said, if they were kind of nefarious, like, no, fuck this guy, there's no way he's gonna win these last two bets, we're not gonna let him cash it out. So I know, but what are you gonna do if you're that guy? He looked completely, he posted a video that on the way home from Metro that Rick was watching. He had a great attitude. He's like, I'm a younger guy, and he's like, he looked worn but happy. And was sort of like, well, there's always next week. Is kind of what he said. I mean, I'd be a little nervous that he's going to blow all 250, thinking that he's going to run it back somehow. Mm-hmm. I'm a little nervous for him.
No,
I am.
That is 100% in play. It would be for me. I'd be like, well, I got to make up that 750 dropped. Yeah. But you got to feel, you can't listen to the people who are like, you're an idiot. It's like, did you just cash out 250K? Shut your mouth.
Exactly.
Like, that would be the worst. I'd have to be off Twitter permanently.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if people knew who I was, like, and they knew that scenario. You will not hear from me again. Ever. I'm moving out. I'm moving to Pleasure Island.
Oh. Big time. I think that's next to Blowhole Bonanza, I'm pretty sure, in the in Hawaii. So I felt bad for him, but proud of that guy at the same time. Good for him.
Awesome. Yeah, that's fantastic. I love seeing stuff like that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And also great for FanDuel, because you know what people are doing this weekend? They're playing 25 game parlays.
Yep.
You know how many are going to win, Bill? I'll tell you, zero. Zero will win. So, this is literally great advertising. I mean, I think of it all the time when, that nerd Darren Rovell, posts that shit all the time. About, ooh, this person just put 50 grand down on the Spurs to win the tip-off or some stupid shit like that. And it's that's such great advertising for these books, because people, because I do it all the time. I see people who give picks on Twitter. I will admit this, that I don't even know who they are. And I'll be like, ooh, yeah, I kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Jets -3. Ooh, I hadn't thought of it. I'm going to put a little on that.
It's the problem with those, the articles on the Action app you're talking about. Like, I'll do the same thing. I'll look and I'll read something like, man, this is very logically thought out. I'm absolutely going to do this. And it's like, I don't know. This guy could be 0 for his last 20. I don't know if this guy's smart. And maybe there's an upgrade that you can that you can actually see this guy's transparent record. That's what I'd like about Brad Evans. That was a Noisy Huevos. Used to work for Yahoo and whatever, and he's a total degenerate. And he's a U of I grad, and he's kind of annoying to listen to be honest, but he's a good Twitter follow. And he has a spreadsheet you can follow, basically. Like, here are all of my picks. This is why I like them, but I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that I'm amazing at it. So he's like, either follow me or fade me. Like, here it is. So I do appreciate that. As opposed to a guy like Ravel, who will occasionally post a bet that he won and to try to brag about it. It's like, well, how else have you been doing, Darren? I would like to know.
Yeah, right. Right.
Fuck that guy in general.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a nerd. Parlays are suck. Those are sucker bets. I can't quit them.
I know.
Same. They're fun. But then every time I do them, I'm like, what am I like? there's no way I know most of these won't hit.
And this guy's was so that's what made this guy's impressive too. Like he had I expected it to be like a bunch of like negative 900 money line bets, basically, right? Where you're right. Just like, it's college football, these guys should all win. But there was a ton of spread bets, and I think he probably had one or two plus money ones. And yeah, just an unbelievable run by this guy.
Yeah,
he is a hero. He should be a hero for all of us.
He's blowing that immediately.
Yeah,
it's gonna be awesome.
I know.
I hope he follows up. He's like, it's all gone in like a week.
Oh, he did. Rick said, I think he immediately put like down a $500 bet on something that looks squirrely. Like, oh, come on, man, don't do this. Don't do it. You're hurting my heart. Because I feel like I'd want to do the same thing. It's like self-loathing. Like, oh God, what would I do if I had that much scratch and I didn't just literally put it in my bank right away? If it was in my balance, oh no, that's not
good.
Be
so bad. I would. Yeah, I'd be like, I could probably put $20,000 down on the Bears this weekend.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. Start talking to yourself. Yeah, it's like, this is house money.
It's not all of it. It's just a taste. So just to ride it. But I would love for once in my life to put like $20,000 on one game.
Yeah.
You've never done that,
experience.
Right?
Oh, no.
Okay,
no.
All right.
No.
To be like comfortably do it. Although that might not be worth it. You got to get a little uncomfortable. That's what degenerates say before they get their legs broken.
Oh, shit. Yeah, it's fun. I'm glad. Thank you, JB, for making this happen, baby. But give us the Illini, too. Or don't. Probably don't.
You fat bitch. Give us the Illinois teams. Come on. Right. You got nothing else on your plate, literally. No. You eat everything, you fat bitch. Well, I'm glad you had a good weekend.
Thanks,
and
buddy.
You survived. Sounds exhausting. I don't know how you did it. I'm too old for that shit.
I know.
You're older than I am, somehow.
Somehow. Yeah, I'm still alive. I'm injured, but I'm recovering. I'll be fine. Nobody cares.
Are you injured, can't run injured, or just sore?
Yeah, I've not been able to run this week yet. But I'm getting work done on my back. Had some today, doing it again tomorrow. And
needles?
Saturday. No. Adjustments and massages. I've never been adjusted before. Have you been adjusted? Today was my first experience.
I've been adjusted so many times. I've done that, yes.
It's a little weird.
Recently I've done like the needling stuff.
Okay.
Which feels real weird.
Acupuncture, right? Isn't that what they call that?
They just call it like dry needling. They do it like a physical therapist, and it's I don't like it. Kind of feels like you're getting electrocuted. I don't like it.
Little stim. It does feel better. A little stim there, baby.
Little bit of a zing.
I hope hopefully it's not needles.
Oh,
we'll find out.
What are you, Deshaun Watson? I hope you feel better, my friend.
I think I will.
That sucks.
Right. Yeah, it's fine. My legs could probably use a few days off, to be honest. It's probably a blessing.
Oh, bless you, child. Well, Bears are going to win this weekend.
Yeah.
Gophers are going to win this weekend. Illini are going to win Thursday.
Yep.
Sox are going to win 3 in a row.
Boom.
Everton's not playing.
Victory.
That's all I got.
Okay.
Oh, we're all winners.
And Rick's going undefeated, too.
Rick's going undefeated. Yeah.
This is going to be great. Thank you, Rick, for your contributions, as always, to Hams and Bread and Spreads. Thank you also, Rick, for your contribution to our opening song, as well as Tony Doinks and Coach Cuse. It is hopefully one that you have all enjoyed, and Dan, I hope you enjoy it as well.
I will. I know I will. Yeah. I always do.
All right, buddy. Go Bears! Zero Dykes.
Bye, Bears. I love you. just thought Jordan was like, has like a like Guy Fieri in her spank bank and is just knows everything about him. So maybe the same for you. Are you jerking off to Guy Fieri?
Oh, not just to him, with him, and in him.
In the unity of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Please be seated.
I like dangerous games.
Dolphin Dick Island.
Blowhole Bonanza.
He has four kids that are named Jaden, Jace, Joby, and Joel. All J's.
Joby? I don't know more about Joby. I think it's Joby. I'm going with Joby.
It's like a Lord of the Rings thing. Is it a troll from Lord of the Rings? I haven't seen it. I don't know.
I think that's his middle name though.
Or is there a Joby first, in his first Harry name's Potter Hand. Or something?
His first name's Hank.
It came from some website called Sports Spectrum, where it's where sports and faith connect. Have you ever heard of that? I know that's not really in your algorithm on your computer. Any faith-based information, because you worship the devil. But
666 666, come here, Beelzebub.
Love it. Thank you so much.
I know the drill. I really like this song.
Just in time. Justin Fields.
Georgia, Georgia, I love your son. When he gets older, he might be the one. He might be the one. And if you find me, will you show
goodbye, I'm a dolphin.
Poof.
Eberflus is the bears every day, every day, every day. So why does it feel like we still ever on pace, ever on pace, ever on pace?